Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, Sound Opinions listeners, if you support us on Patreon, you get to listen to our podcast ad-free on Patreon.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we've got a new batch of musical buried treasures to share with you. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. But first, we have to pay tribute to television's iconic guitarist, Tom Verlaine.
That guitar, what an iconic riff. It's the opening of Marquee Moon, the title track of the debut album by Television. Television was one of those bands that came up in the CBGB punk explosion of the mid-70s, but it was never really akin to most of those other bands. We're honoring Television because at the age of 73, Tom Verlaine, its founding guitarist, has died.
Yeah, it's a sad note, Jim. It's been a terrible month, yes. Iconic figures dying. And in some ways, Verlaine isn't a household name, but I was pleased, in a way, at the outpouring. I wasn't aware of how many people knew of him, and I did see some people that had never heard Marquee Moon, saying, "What's the big deal about this guy?" You know, yeah. But they learned a lot about him. He was one of those figures that if you knew, you were a huge fan, and if you didn't know, it was kind of like a revelation, I think, stumbling upon this music. Now, he was so influential and not necessarily a big-name artist.
You know, Greg, I think it is not an overstatement to say that since the release of Marquee Moon in 1977 on Elektra Records, no truly inventive guitarist anywhere in the rock idiom hasn't taken something from Verlaine.
That's true. His name came up a lot when I talk with guitar players about influences. And you can hear it in some really obvious places like U2 and Echo and the Bunnymen and Teardrop Explodes. They were not shy about saying, "Hey, you know, just as we were forming our band, Television hit us between the eyes." And we were like, "We're taking stuff from them."
You know, the Feelies would often cover Television as well as Verlaine solo songs. And the other day, my streaming service, after I'd played Marquee Moon, decided to give me some Wire, which makes sense. Anybody with ambition looking at punk rock as a blank canvas to reinvent rock and roll had to be influenced by that guitar interplay of Verlaine and Richard Lloyd. Those two guitars really put a new stamp on what could be done in rock with this six-stringed instrument. Because even by 1977, people were saying that anything that could be done with guitars, bass, and drums had been done. It was old news. Some of the early critics, interestingly enough, compared Marquee Moon to Quicksilver Messenger Service and some of the other bands out of the San Francisco psychedelic explosion. I also saw comparisons to Yes and progressive rock in terms of the virtuosity of Lloyd and Verlaine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's what was so mind-blowing about it, because, you know, you think about CBGB era punk and you realize what a misnomer that was, because every one of those bands sounded different than everybody else. And Television first and foremost. I remember my first encounter with Marquee Moon, the title track from that first album, and it was labeled a punk album. You know, they kind of looked punky on the cover. And
the cover, shot by Robert Mapplethorpe.
And you weren't hearing this stuff on the radio. So then you encounter a song like Marquee Moon, and you're kind of proud. You know, I'm like 19 years old, and I go, what the hell is this?
Doesn't sound like a punk record. It's 10 minutes long. There are two epic guitar solos. Verlaine, looking back from 1991, said he always thought the group was a pop band. The quote, I thought Marquee Moon was a bunch of cool singles. And then I realized, man, this song is 10 minutes long and there's two guitar solos. Who was this guy? Born in New Jersey, but really grew up in Wilmington, Delaware. He was moving through a lot of the same places that the young Patti Smith was moving, although Patti said they never met until they were both on the Lower East Side of New York. Huge fans of the New York Dolls in the early 70s and dreaming up this thing called punk rock. Patti and Tom were very tight and romantically involved for a while. So Patti Smith wrote one of those inevitably Patti Smith-type tributes for The New Yorker about the death of her friend. And many other rock greats have been weighing in about Verlaine's influence. Early on, Television included one Richard Hell. Underrated as the American icon of punk rock in the same way that John Lydon and Sid Vicious were in the UK. Richard Hell invented the Rip t-shirt, and his signature song, Blank Generation, is an anthem of the punk era. But in some ways, he was too punk for Television. They were about virtuosity, and Verlaine replaced him. Now, it has to be said, there were two guitars in Television. As I said earlier, Verlaine and Lloyd were the guitarists. Television does not work without those two. And a lot of the people who've been paying tribute to Television have been all about Verlaine. In fact, some parts that you thought were Verlaine were Lloyd. Some parts that you thought were Lloyd were Verlaine. That having been said, it was Verlaine's band. He wrote the lyrics. He had those pinched nasal vocals, similar in a lot of ways to David Byrne of Talking Heads. And, you know, those vocals could be funny. They could be profound. They're really incredible lyrics. You know, I fell right into the arms of Venus de Milo. Venus de Milo doesn't have any arms. And, you know, See No Evil. Verlaine is talking about me and Richie. We were going to dress up like cops. Imagine what we could do. He's talking about Richard Hell, thinking that if they were costumed cops on the Lower East Side, they could really have some fun. Not necessarily a good idea. Let me pose a question to you, Craig. Being one of the greatest debut albums of all time, no two ways about that, the follow-up Adventure is merely very, very good. But Marquee Moon, so distinctive, such a masterpiece. In some ways, were Television cursed? How do you follow that up?
No, it's a perfect record, and I would say maybe the greatest side one of music ever recorded. Certainly from that era, it stands up with just about anything. I mean, what a opening, you know, See No Evil, Venus, then you've got Friction, and then you go into Marquee Moon,
yeah,
which is like this sprawling masterpiece. And it makes it sound like it was disjointed or something. It wasn't at all. It was extremely well conceived. And every note mattered in that record. That's the thing about Verlaine's playing and Lloyd's, is that they made every note count. So yeah, it's really hard. Like, how do you follow that up? But Verlaine wasn't concerned about fame, you know. He wanted to live his own life, yeah, without being a rock star, and make art, and that was his goal. And in that respect, He succeeded. Everything had to be on his own terms. It should be pointed out, he did sound like David Byrne, but I think David Byrne actually sounded more like him.
That is entirely
because Verlaine
possible.
Was there first. He kind of opened the door to, he was the guy that convinced Hilly Kristal to book his band, and ergo the other bands of that ilk, the new wave of New York City, circa 74, 1974. His band was fully formed. A lot of people who saw the band back then and the early versions of Talking Heads and early versions of Ramones said, Television and Verlaine were way ahead of everybody else in that scene in terms of how developed their sound was. But he was so meticulous. He took, your pal Brian Eno took a crack at recording
the obligatory Jim Deere got his foot
and said, "No, this isn't working for me." They probably could have had the first record out of that scene. They had Little Johnny Jewel, a great single, 7-minute single, alongside the Patti Smith record in 1975. They could have had an album out by 75, but no, Verlaine was going to. I need to hear that sound in my head on the tape.
Yeah.
And he didn't get it until, Andy Johns came.
He had a vision, Verlaine. And Television reunited in 1992, put out a self-titled album. I was initially very disappointed by it. The vision was not the same. To me, it sounded like Sergio Morricone instrumentals, which are fine. I love those. But I wanted, if not Marquee Moon, I wanted another adventure and another song as great as Glory. And we didn't get that.
Yeah.
I also interviewed them at that time. And they were only doing interviews as a group, as a quartet. And they seemed committed to amusing one another and foiling every journalist who asked a question. No matter how smart, no matter how deep, no matter how knowledgeable and how much of a fan that journalist was. They were there to make fun of the journalists. And, all right, it was really punk, but I cut that chat short because, if you guys didn't want to talk to me, fine, I won't waste my time talking to you.
Yeah, they were in a kind of weird place then because I did an interview at that point with them as well, and it was just kind of strange. And, they clearly, I'm not sure they even liked each other at that point. They weren't really getting along super well. But I got to say, I went back to that record because, it sort of colors your opinion of the music when the people don't seem to be enjoying each other.
We've tried to spend our career separating the art and the artist, and that is not always possible.
There's three songs on that record, 1880 or so, Call Mr. Lee, Mars. I mean, those songs I'll put up against just about anything. They're not a match for the first record, but they're very credible songs. And for that era, you kind of got a sense of they were way ahead of their time. I know it's a cliche to almost say that, but Television sounded very contemporary in the early 1990s.
And they still do today.
And that's the beauty of that music. And Verlaine's solo music is also very underrated, I think. He again made three really good solo records right out of the gate that, again, Television's records didn't sell. No. Verlaine's solo records really didn't sell. But you go back to those records now, the self-titled one in 79, Dreamtime in 1981, Words from the Front in 1982. Those are really terrific records. I will stand by them as very exemplary for their time and certainly have aged much better than a lot of music that came out during that era. And it's interesting, too, that he and Patti Smith continued to collaborate off and on over the years.
Yeah, he appeared on many of Patti's later albums.
And toured with her at a certain point, in the last decade or so. So he was constantly innovating. And the fact that he died at age 73 was kind of a shock because he seemed to be pretty creative up until the end. And whatever illness caught up with him, it took him quickly. Suddenly he's gone.
And there wasn't a lot of detail out there. And it was actually Patti Smith's son, a guitarist himself, who announced the death of Tom Verlaine at the age of 73. Greg, I think there's only one song to play this segment out. When I See the Glory, I certainly hope that Tom Verlaine has.
When I see the glory,
thank you.
by Television from the Adventure album, 1978, in tribute to Tom Verlaine, dead at the age of 73. Do you have a favorite memory of Television, or Tom Verlaine solo, or Tom Verlaine with Patti Smith? Share it in a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org, so we can play it on the show. Coming up, we'll share music you may have missed that's worth your time. Yes, buried treasures. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
And we're back. Now it's time for a brand new batch of buried treasures.
Yeah, we love these shows, Greg. And we love to hear our producers' picks as well as our own. So much music is released in this day and age of streaming. It's all out there. Some bands are better than others at promoting themselves, making us know about that music, but not all of them. So we try to keep track of the emails, of the streams, of buzz from friends, and a million other things, and we dig deep for these buried treasures. I have an ever-expanding folder of treasures in between these episodes every 6 or 8 weeks, and I'm never shy of 30, 40, or 50 contenders. So, you know, as you know, I take a day and I go through big parts of that folder, listen to at least a little of all those songs. But what's your method?
Well, you know, similar. I just I'll pile up songs, hearing stuff from different sources. You know, whether somebody's sending me a link or I stumble across it while I'm looking for something else when on a streaming service.
You know, and occasionally the algorithm doesn't go to Mars and recommend a K-pop band after I was listening to Television.
Yeah, well, there's an amazing amount of music that's put out every year. And one of the purposes here for me, as we kind of, I think this is our first Buried Treasures segment
of
the new year, right? And I'm still, a couple of these are from last year, stuff that I meant to get to or couldn't get to. And I thought, you know, we got to talk about this record. In the case of the one I'm going to open with, it's a brand new record by a very promising artist named Wesley Joseph. I came in contact with his music actually a couple of years ago. He's a UK filmmaker turned recording artist. And he had a self-released debut album in 2021 called Ultramarine with a really cool single called Ghostin' on it. And I'd listened to that music. I thought, that sounds really promising. Lo and behold, secretly Canadian, one of the best labels in the world, signed him. And he's got a new LP coming out this month called Glowin'. And, you know, he's what's this guy about? Sings and raps, keys and strings, kind of a cool arrangement ideas built around those two particular instrumental textures. And I love the way he uses his voice, the backing vocals, as kind of a textural and rhythmic bed. So there's there's a very layered feel to it. There's not a lot of stuff here. It's not like he's recording with a 50-piece orchestra. But at the same time, there's a lushness to it. And in a track like Monsoon that I'm going to play, you know, you hear the hand claps coming in later on. There's these little elements that sort of move the song along. This guy's thinking, you know, conceptually as a producer as well as a songwriter. Wesley Joseph is the name of the artist. The track is called Monsoon from the forthcoming album.
Probably well timed. Live it so, live it true, live a lie. Back when we was burning bush, waiting for a sign. Till then I let my spirit be the guide. I see purpose in a second, but lost if it ain't defined. Losing sleep over some purpose, feeling limited by time. Hope this purpose in this moment, or at least one of these lines in this
small world filled with true lies. Saw eyes, I'm walking in blind. What it feel like?
A cup for my life. Two times I'm up, I'm alright. What you living like? And I'm feeling like.
Wesley Joseph with Monsoon opening my Buried Treasures picks.
So,
for this month,
Greg,
Jim.
You and I trade tracks so we can listen to them in advance and get our thoughts together on the other contributors' picks. But I don't do any research on yours. You don't do any on mine. I leave it to you to tell the story and vice versa. But the word I kept writing down with your batch of treasures this time around was sensual. That is a very sensual recording, Wesley Joseph. I think you're gearing up for Valentine's Day, GK.
Yeah, could be. Maybe I'm in cocooning mode, you know, with all this weather. But, you know, this track sounds really good to me right now.
Well, I have a theme in my treasures, the four that I'm going to lay on everybody today. It was within the space of a couple of days when I was culling contenders, and I got pitches from each of these acts or their publicists, and the first word, if not in the subject line, then in the body of the email, was psychedelic for each of these bands. Psychedelic, psychedelic, psychedelic. Now, I'm going to quote a wise, sage man, Inigo Montoya, from The Princess Bride. You keep using that word, but I do not think it means what you think it means. So three of these, the first three I'm going to play, they're all great tracks. I'm just not so sure they're psychedelic. Doesn't matter. What am I talking about? Let's lead off with the Get Right Band, a track called Hell Yes, Refresh. The Get Right Band describes itself as a psychedelic indie rock power trio from Asheville, North Carolina. They have a new album out, coming out soon, called Itopia, that, quote, explores issues of technology and social media and their massive impacts on our lives, personalities, and relationships. Okay, a concept album. That's progressive rock, but there are some psychedelic concept records, too. I guess that makes sense. You know, the antidote, the Get Right Band says, to this dark rabbit hole of social media overload is art, beauty, love, and knowledge. But most of all, art. I think that's a noble theme. And I would say this is a fantastic song. Band's been kicking around since 2011. Three friends from Asheville, North Carolina. As I said, when I hear on Hell Yes Refresh, which I think is taking the metaphor of just, you know, when your computer's not working, when in doubt, reboot. Those are words to live by. And we certainly had some audio challenges along those lines this morning. But when in doubt, reboot. That's what the theme here is. We got vocoder vocals, which can be a cliche, but I think they actually fit this song. We got a lot of reverb. We got burbling synthesizers, all in the service of a really catchy pop song. Hell Yes, Refresh by the Get Right Band.
Finding my tribe, finding new life, feeling the vibe. It pulls at my mind, just like first love.
Hell Yes, Refresh by the Get Right Band. They love Pink Floyd, they say, and they love Danger Mouse.
I'm in with the reboot concept. That makes sense to me. You know, this is the time of year to do that, right? We're all rebooting in a way. The record I want to play next, Jim, is a record that came out in mid-year last year. And, man, I listened to it when it came out initially, and I thought, man, I love this. And then in the pile of stuff that we got in and, you know, over the various months, we didn't get to it. I'm going to catch up with that now. And I listened to this record again, front to back, just the other day. And I go, man, this thing really holds up. It's a great record. Hurry Up is the name of the band. And the album is Dismal Niche. You know, Dismal Niche kind of describes some of the mood that I may have been in various points in 2022. Yeah. They're from Portland, Oregon, and a great little band. Two members of the Thermals, drummer Kathy Foster and guitarist Weston Glass, and then bassist Maggie Vale of the Bangs. So they all sing, they all write. It is a true DIY, all-hands-on-deck band. You know, we're all contributing to this. And despite the name Dismal Niche, what I like about it is that they're just blasting right through it, you know? Yeah. We ain't going to take it anymore, man. We're a punk rock band, and we're going to play.
Well, Maggie Vale has been on the indie scene for a very long time, and that's been her approach throughout her life and her career.
Absolutely. And you can hear it loud and clear on this record. This record, as I mentioned, came out last year. It's chock full of, I don't think there's a bad track on the record. includes a cover of Fire in the Western World by the Portland Underground Luminaries, Dead Moon. And Dead Moon doesn't get enough love either. So this album checks that box as well. The guitar playing on this record in particular, I love. On this track, the guitarist, channeling a little bit of that Joy Division vibe, Weston Glass is. And, once you start going Joy Division, you got me. You got me hooked. Not to mention the sentiment here with American Weirdos. That's the name of the track. Yes, we are all American Weirdos, Jim. And, Godspeed and go forward and multiply.
Fly your freak flag high.
That's right. Hurry up with American Weirdos on Sound Opinions. That is Hurry Up, blasting us between the eyes with American Weirdos from the Dismal Niche LP. Go out and get
nice
it, folks.
Nice burst of pop-punk noise, often the sort of thing you get from me on this show. But I like it, Mr. Cott. Again, what does psychedelic mean? It has many interpretations, as many as there are artists who choose to use the word. I got a pitch from an artist named Maisie. A surreal and psychedelic tape on pop is how she branded her new song, It's Not Me, It's You. I went back to some of her earlier tracks, and they were angrier. Dum Dum was one that got a lot of viral attention. And Girls Just Want to Have Sex, a slightly raunchier rewrite of Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper. This track, It's Not Me, It's You, is angry. I quote, I broke my heart because I had nothing to do. You did it because you wanted to. I don't need another reason to prove it's not me, it's you. Yeah, a little Riot Girl there. But also a little psychedelic if you kind of squint your ears. I don't know. I love it. I love the energy. I love the sentiment. And Maisie's definitely a young artist who's worth keeping an eye on. Baltimore bred, relocated to Los Angeles. And this is the taster for an album that comes out in just a couple of weeks. The album's going to be called Blotter Baby. Blotter, acid imagery, right? Is it psychedelic? I don't know. It's a great song, either way. Here it is, Maisie on Sound Opinions. It's not me, it's you.
I don't need another reason to prove.
It's not me, it's you, Greg, by Maisie. And how often have you thought that? Or vice versa, as we do
yes,
this show.
Yes, dreamy. What kind of things do you write down when you're listening to one of my tracks here? With this one, the first word I wrote down was dreamy.
Dreamy, except that the sentiment is angry, you know?
Yeah, but and it's deceptive in that respect. It's an interesting juxtaposition.
Let us turn, Greg, to our production staff, Sol Delgadillo, our associate producer. Hey, Sol, people love when we have you on the show.
Hello, thank you again for having me. So my buried treasure this time around, I tried to stay away from K-pop this time, so you're welcome, everyone.
Of course, you are our K-pop correspondent,
exactly.
And that's an important role
exactly.
to play.
And I enjoy it. So I chose a song by Måneskin this time around, and I feel like we sort of mentioned them in passing at one point or another on the show, but we never really like played them or dove into them at all.
We did not dive in, and a lot of people may be confused. It always scans to me, Greg, like main skin or man skin or something, if you leave out the E. But it's Maneskin.
And they rose to fame because they blew up on TikTok over a couple songs that they performed in the Eurovision Song Contest. And their new album just came out on January 22nd. And so I'm going to go ahead and play a song from that. I picked the song Gossip because it has a Tom Morello feature on it too. And I enjoy a lot of Tom Morello stuff. So
great guitar. All right. Maneskin, Gossip.
Just fill your drink with tonic gin. This is the American dream. So sip the gossip. Drink till you choke. Sip the gossip. Burn down your throat. You're not iconic. You are just like them all. Don't act like you don't know. So sip the gossip. Drink till you choke.
Gossip by Maneskin. I will confess, Sol, I've tried to like this band because people I like this band. But, you know, to me, it's just Greta Van Fleet. 70s revival. You, of course, were born about three decades past that era. Maybe that sound is new to you. I don't know. But there's a fair amount of shtick, I think, with them. What do they do that makes you think they rise above that?
I don't know. I feel like with a lot of these international bands now, they try to appeal to, you know, the American rock aesthetic that was big, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And I feel like they want to wear the makeup. They want to, you know, trash hotel rooms. They want to, you know, do all this like cool rock stuff that
throwing TVs in the swimming pool.
And like,
and you want to do that, huh?
I mean, it'd be nice. But I'm not a rock star, so it's okay. I'll just book one of those like rage rooms that you can smash TVs in.
All right, Sol, thank you for that pick. Lauren, you're up.
Our Columbia College intern, Lauren Holt.
My pick is from Little Dragon, and it's the remix with FKJ, Water. So the original came out in 2020, and it's on their album New Me, Same Us. And so I chose this probably because I'm a little biased, because I fell in love with Little Dragon a while ago. So you have this thing where if your favorite artist comes out with something, you automatically just think that it's going to be great. And you have, like, I don't know, blind ears, as I call it, because it sounds better because you like the artist. But in this case, that's not the reason. It's very dancey. The synth and like the pop feel, I really love that. And the lyrics, Yukimi is just the best lyricist to me. Her voice is really soulful and beautiful. I love everything that she sings. She's just amazing. And the lyrics feel like joy to me. They're very hopeful. And if you go back to their beginning albums, a lot of the lyrics are pretty dark and heavy, which is a real thing that we all go through. We all have moments where maybe we've gone through some trauma or something difficult. It's like about heartache and relationships, so it's relatable. So I feel I've seen the group grow, and so this seems like this moment of hope and joy, and she's now in this place of peace and happiness, and it feels kind of nice, and so I relate to both.
She's making it through.
Let's go tell the world we know what we have, what we want, and find it soul.
That is Little Dragon Water FKJ remix. Nice pick from Lauren. I'm a fan of this band too. They remind me a little bit of that avant R&B thing that's going on in England too. FKA Twigs, that could sort of sound.
I was thinking
cool.
Erykah Badu goes EDM, that smoky, sensual feel, but for the dance floor. I love it.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool sound. Thanks again to Sol and Lauren for their picks, and coming up, Jim and I are going to share more of our buried treasures. Plus, we hear from producers Andrew and Alex. That's coming up on Sound Opinions.
And we're back, and we are this week sharing some buried treasures, new under-the-radar songs we think you need to hear. Next up is a choice from our producer, Alex Claiborne. Alex, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. So today I'm going to be playing a song that I recently came across that I believe came out in 2021. And the duo is called Ducks Limited, formerly known as Ducks Unlimited, but they've since become
Ducks
Limited.
Unlimited. I don't think they should be limiting themselves.
I think it's like it's a company thing, but it's Ducks LTD. And like I said, they're a duo. They're out of Toronto, but they have roots in Australia. It's Tom McGreevy and Evan Lewis. And according to their bio, they met while they were both playing in other groups in the Toronto music scene and decided to collaborate upon discovering their mutual love for 80s pop bands like Felt, Orange Juice, and the Go-Betweens.
We love the Go-Betweens.
And like I said, they're making sort of jangle pop for the 2020s. It's very melodic, but the lyrics are quite melancholy on a lot of the songs. And they just put out their debut album on Car Park, I believe in 2021, and it's called Modern Fiction. And the song I want to play is called 18 Cigarettes. It's a song that definitely lives up to those melancholy, very sad lyrics, but the guitar, the instrumentation is so infectious that you almost kind of forget what the song is about, and then you kind of tap into it at a couple points. And actually, before we taped, Greg mentioned, hey, I think I know this song.
And I do. It's a great pick, Alex. Great minds think alike, as they say,
yes.
Right?
Well, you know, Alex, both of us love that sweet and sour combination. So thank you for 18 Cigarettes by Ducks Limited. I think Ducks Period would just be the better name, but what do I know? Let's turn now to producer Andrew Gill. Andrew, everybody today is sort of, well, not me, but Greg and Alex were sort of going out of type a little bit here and there. But this is what I would consider, and I mean this as a compliment, an archetypal Andrew Gill song.
I do think it actually fits your theme that you were talking about, because it's sort of psychedelic, but maybe not exactly in the proper definition of that term.
Well, it's a word that means whatever you think it is.
Right, right. It's actually not even a buried treasure, really. It's kind of a super group. It's the Arcs. Leader of the group is Dan Auerbach, and he's joined by Studio Whizzes. These guys who just ooze musical talent out their fingers, and they don't know what to do with it, so they have to put together new groups. Guy who played with Amy Winehouse, another guy who played with Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and then this guy, Richard Swift. So they put out an album in 2015. They started recording this stuff back in like 2016, and sadly, Richard Swift, who was a pivotal member of this group, died in 2018, and they just put all of this stuff, it just lived in Dropbox.com, you know, for the past 4 years. They couldn't even touch it. So who is Richard Swift, though? That's the question. He had begun as like a worship leader in mega churches in California and stuff. But he quickly fell in with these guys in the Starflyer 59 kind of crowd. They put out an album. That's where I heard about him. It's also where Secretly Canadian heard about him and signed him.
This is the second Secretly Canadian reference on this Buried Treasures episode.
He put out a few albums with them. And he also opened a recording studio in Oregon called National Freedom. He recorded Foxygen.
Oh, I love that
record. He recorded some stuff with Sharon Van Etten and a bunch of people. He became a member of the Shins, started touring with them, became a touring member of the Black Keys.
Right. Well, he sounds like Dan Auerbach. I always wonder how his days are in 48 hours long.
He's in like 17 million bands. He produces all these artists. I mean, he must live in the studio when he's not touring.
Yeah, and Swift sounds the same way.
Yeah, exactly. But 2018, he died. He had contracted hepatitis. He was heavily drinking. Mm. There's a great article that friend of the show, Aaron Osman, wrote for Rolling Stone about Richard Swift after he died. Anyways, flash forward to the pandemic, Dan Auerbach dusts off the Dropbox files and they put this album together based on all these tracks that they had all recorded beforehand. And the song I want to play is the last song in this album. And it's also touched by another tragedy from 2018, which was David Berman of the Silver Jews dying. So Auerbach and Berman had met when Berman lived in Nashville and they started working together on songwriting. And this is the one song that they actually did together.
Finished.
And they finished this. And it also shows up on the Purple Mountains record, the last thing that David Berman put out. He did his own version of this song. But it's a song that's touched by two tragedies, and it's, you know, kind of fits your theme. So here it is, Only One For Me from the Arcs.
So many things that'll never come to be. Now that I know the score, oh, I lament it more and more. I got a feeling I'm the only one for me.
Andrew Gill's pick, The Arcs, Only One For Me. And that was a great story, Mr. Gill. You should perhaps make a documentary on groups like this. Oh, wait, I heard something like that was in the works.
Yeah, right.
We're going to have to interview you at some point. Greg, it's back to you. You got another treasure?
I got to say, the Arcs thing hit me hard, too. I like that kind of a slow blues. We don't play enough kind of bluesy church organ backdrop.
Yeah, but then it opens up like it's operatic.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. Very cool track. I wanted to go to Berlin for my next artist, Avalon Emerson. She's not actually from Berlin originally. That has become sort of her adopted home lately. Software developer out of San Francisco, you know, it's Northern California.
Berlin. Berlin is a happening place.
And ends up in Berlin. She's been recording for a decade now, a DJ, basically. Played tons of clubs and festivals. I've seen her various places over the years. She is holds court at a club called Bergen that is world-renowned. And she's played 11-hour sets there. You know, shades of Frankie Knuckles at the Warehouse, right? Loves house music, loves club music. Has been making records in that vein for a number of years. You know, and also just the variety that she brings to her arrangements, her productions, is revelatory to me. You know, even though she's a club kid in the sense that she wants to make music to play at a club, not necessarily for production or recording purposes, but the level of production that goes into her individual tracks is pretty stunning. The track I'm going to play next, Sandrail Silhouette from Avalon Emerson, you know, there's that guitar jangle in there, those cool vocals, the way the strings are used in this track, particularly strong, the way they just sort of dart in and out of the track, it really gives it some tension. It's Avalon Emerson with a track called Sandrail Silhouette on Sound Opinions.
Tell me about your life.
That is Avalon Emerson, great DJ, doing some great production work on Sandrail Silhouette.
I really love the contrast between the electronic elements of that song and then the very organic strings and sensual voice. That's another sensual nod for Mr. Cott on this show. Greg, I'm staying in Chicago for an artist named Mana C. He is very much in demand as a vocal coach, working with a lot of people on the local hip-hop and R&B scenes, and he is a fine, fine singer himself. So I first heard of the artist via an article by Britt Julius, our friend in the Tribune, where you used to work, and it was before the debut album came out, Monochromatic Dream. Psychedelic soul is the genre that Mana C talks about working in, and most writers have been using that term. I think there are a lot of ingredients in his music, and I just love this quote that he gave Britt for the Tribune. I describe it as stew in a crock pot. You put your ingredients in there one by one, and you just let it simmer until everything is tender and married together. The reward is delicious. I couldn't agree more. Monacy is absolutely delicious. I hear echoes of gospel and house music and psychedelic soul, that tradition from Curtis Mayfield through D'Angelo, the psychedelic Temptations, right? It's a sound both of us love, and I can never get enough of it. There's a new EP coming shortly, Variation V1, I'll Be. I guess this track would be considered the title track. I'll Be Live Part 1. By Monacy on Sound Opinions. Monacy, I'll Be Live, Part 1. Stay tuned for that EP, supposed to be coming this month.
I gotta say, that track really was moving to me. It reminded me a lot of, I used to listen to like old gospel recordings from the 50s and 60s, recorded in a church, and you got that sort of reverb-y, boomy sound. And there's some of that in that track. It doesn't sound like that, you know, exactly, but the ambiance is the same. It's very, very
and you
powerful
know,
take
it's just
on
like
that tradition.
Whispering in your ear from somewhere over the horizon. I think that is the key psychedelic element there. Greg, you have one more buried treasure pick for us.
I do, Jim. I want to play a band called Automatic. Again, I've had some picks from recent months. This goes back a few months. Excess is the album they put out. It's a trio from Los Angeles. And they had a they named their band after that song from the Go-Go's debut album Beauty and the Beat, Automatic. In fact, they do have a bit of a new wavy early 80s electronic vibe going on in their music, which is appealing to me. They had a debut album in 2019 called Signal, and were soon signed to Stone's Throw and released that Excess LP last year. Definitely some nods to 80s new wave, early electronic music, as I said. Love the sound, pretty stripped down. Three artists in this band, Izzy Glaudini, Hallie Saxon, and Lola Dumpe. It's just a trio, keys, bass, and drums, and they all sing. The track called New Beginning from Automatic on Sound Opinions. Beginning from Automatic on Sound Opinions.
I love the way that that track shifts from the quiet, minimalist, almost whispered vocals to those nasty synths right out of Suicide.
Yeah, it kind of splashes right in your face when they come in, which I love too.
Good stuff. I got one more, and this is the most traditionally psychedelic track among all of the alleged psychedelia I've been playing in this episode. Daydream Review is a one-person band, an artist, based in Chicago. Now, Elijah Montez started making music in the mid-2010s back in Austin, Texas, decided to move to Chicago, where it's 2 degrees on this February day when we're recording, and you wonder why. But keep Austin weird. A lot of the artists are getting priced out, and Austin's loss is definitely Chicago's gain. I think Elijah is working in a more traditional psychedelic pop style than some of the other tracks we've heard. I hear bits of Hendrix. I hear the Beatles' Circa Revolver. I hear Pet Sounds' Beach Boys. But he has a really unique presence and a great message. Again, I think a lot of young artists are using psychedelic, that word, for concept record. Leisure is the album. It's coming out shortly. The track I'm going to play is a little sampler from it. Leisure, Elijah says, is about navigating through late capitalism when leisure is monetized and work takes over life. Now, you and me are lucky. I guess our favorite leisure pursuit is listening and talking about great music. It never feels like work, but I know what Elijah's saying. Daydream Review is the moniker he records under. Have you found what you're looking for? Question mark is the song. Daydream Review. Have you found what you're looking for? Daydream Review, have you found what you're looking for? Full album coming in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I haven't found what I'm looking for, Jim. It's a pursuit that continues, and I think it's a good thing when you haven't. If you did, it would feel like, okay, what's next, you know? But I like the dreaminess of that song quite a bit.
Good stuff, and that wraps up our buried treasures. As always, we want to hear from you. What's a song or album that you think deserves more attention? Leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org, with your pick and tell us why. Greg, what do we got on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we're going to take a deep dive into a documentary on one of our favorite, if most misunderstood, artists, Sinead O'Connor. And do not forget to check out our bonus podcast feed for an interview with Canadian punks Effed Up.
On the bonus podcast, we actually get to say the name. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our Columbia College intern is Lauren Holt, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.